blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made the heavens and the earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us begin this afternoon's worship service with the singing of Psalter 228, the stanzas 1 and 2. Lord God of hosts, in mercy, my supplication hear. Almighty and all faithful, our Father's God, give ear. Our shield and great defender, no longer hide thy face, but look upon thy servant, anointed by thy grace. 1 and 2 of 228. scripture reading this afternoon you can find in the Gospel according to Mark, and there of the second chapter, the first 12 verses. Mark chapter 2, the first 12 verses, but first we make confession of faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. I repeat Mark chapter 2, the first 12 verses. And again he entered into Capernaum after some days. And it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise, and take up thy bed and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, and take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed, and glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion. Let us now try to seek the countenance of the Lord in prayer. Most holy, ever-living and faithful being, humble us this afternoon when for the second time on thy holy day there is an opportunity to gather yet under the means of grace in the time of grace. Others have been cut off and their tree has fallen. Their lot is eternally cast, but we may still be in that time of grace to hear what thou hast to say to each one of us as travelers through the time, but also as creatures who were made in thy image, where we bore that likeness, but Lord, where also in our deep fall we have fallen away from thee. We ask of thee, wilt thou make that truth in the inward heart this afternoon, that it may become an afternoon where thou dost bring in our hearts that we are lost creatures. Oh, wilt thou favor us with true conversions, that then also under the proclamation of thy word, new ones may be born in Zion. Our Lord, that is not a number which we have to point thee to, but that is a number of which thy word says they shall be saved. All wilt thou give then also in this congregation the clearest tokens of thy favor, and that is the true conversions amongst young and old, that under this roof, within this congregation, that thou may be building thy kingdom. Wilt thou remember those who are not strangers to a beginning, who do not dare to deny that thou art altogether strange unto them, where thou hast given that in their hearts there has come new desires, where before what they hated they never wanted to do, and now thy service has received the highest place, and where thou hast come with lessons in who that thou art, revealed thyself through thy word by thy spirit. Lord, remember them. Could it be this afternoon, favor them with a word from thee? Could it be, Lord, the further leadings in the life of grace? Ah, Lord, those leadings in which thou wilt reveal thyself through thy Son, Jesus Christ, as the way, the truth, and the life, as the one who brings back into that fellowship and communion, and that by thy Holy Spirit faith may take hold of him. Oh, may it become an unforgettable afternoon because thou art in our midst. And not only those who are here with us, but also listening along. We all stand in need of the same thing. All wilt thou favor us with thy presence, with the opening of the scriptures, and that we may be given to hand out what thou dost give. Wilt thou remember the needs in this congregation? Look upon the sick and the afflicted. Numerous cases, serious cases. And that especially for the two unbaptized children yet in the hospital, the one for a longer time already and the other just this week. Oh, Lord, that it is also that in those families thou dost have dealings. Thou art speaking. And wilt thou give that it may bring them on the right place? And that in thy speaking they may be given, that also there comes a pleading ground. And that upon that they may ask, undeserved, to heal their children. Or that they may receive in these ways access to thy throne of grace with that which is sick. Which, oh Lord, the means are there, bless them. Wilt thou preserve that life? But in all these ways also, Lord, that it may leave a saving benefit behind. Wilt thou grant that also the physicians may receive wisdom in what to do? May we lay before thee also other cases in the congregation where thou hast spoken loudly, where that life could have been cut off of that young father, but thou hast preserved him. Thou hast extended for him that time of grace. Look upon him together with his wife and his family. And also for him, Lord, sanctify these ways. Wilt thou remember the needs of those who are receiving other treatments or under doctor's care, 'tis all known to thee. Wilt thou give unto them what they stand in need of. May we lay before thee the mourning ones, the widows, the widowers, but also those who have lost children or grandchildren, siblings or parents or grandparents. Thou knowest the sorrow, the empty places. But above all, Lord, sanctify the ways. Because in all these things also thou art calling. Today me, tomorrow you. And we need to be prepared, Lord. And where also the empty places have come in the consistory. The ones who also we were given to serve with, their places are empty. Oh, wilt thou remember the families? Wilt thou remember the needs of the baptized seed of this flock? Work amongst them. Draw them with the cords of eternal love, and that the sign and seal of baptism that thou wouldst give, that they may come to know the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost by the true regeneration. Wilt thou protect them in the world in which they grow up? Lord, thou knowest we have the world in our heart. The attraction lays inside of us. And therefore may we commend them unto thee. But that's not just our young people, Lord. That is also the middle-aged and the older ones. Satan is so busy to distract. To keep us busy with everything except our soul. To consume us with everything except thee. And we live in a time where he has been given by thee so many advancements, but one thing he doesn't have, and that is the truth. He always has to invent a lie. Oh, we ask thee then this afternoon, may we be given to bring that truth. And that thou wouldst be pleased, Lord, that today Satan has to hand one over. And that new life may be born from the dead. And that in this afternoon amongst baptized seed or the confessing members, middle-aged or older ones, may be so far away, so far drifted off, but that thou dost begin today. Lord, may we lay the flock before thee. Tis not an unfamiliar people. We also have our footsteps amongst them. May we commend them unto thy care and keeping. Wilt thou look upon those who have troubles and crosses known to thee? Oh Lord, each one will have something. And not one of us will agree with the cross by nature. But wilt thou bring in that pathway whereby thy grace thou dost come to give moments that they may thank thee for the cross? Wilt thou remember the needs so of also the education of our children, the school, with all its needs we lay it before thee? And may that also be a place where thou art working, that we would not only raise our children for the time. It has been made evident, 14 years old and eternity. Lord, our children, it is only but for a time that we will have them. And then also they have to stand before thee. Sanctify the callings, Lord. Wilt thou remember the needs of this consistory? Look upon them also in mercy. Wilt thou help them in the office which they have received from thee? And may they each in their respective office be administered out of thee. Remember the brother in the ministry who may labor amongst them for some time already. Wilt thou uphold them also this afternoon in the branch of Calgary? Give him also there what he stands in need of. Look upon him together with his wife and children and grandchildren. Wilt thou remember the needs of thy kingdom worldwide? Thy eye is upon it. Thy kingdom shall come. And thou art the exalted mediator. And thou art at the right hand of the Father. And then thou knowest where thy kingdom gathers. Lord, may we ask thee today, extend its borders. Strengthen the faith of the inhabitants of that kingdom. Help all thy truly sent and called servants, wherever they are called to labor, especially those who have to labor under the yokes of persecution. Remember those churches. Remember upon the mission fields. Look upon thy covenant people, the Jews, and the work done amongst them. Lord, may we so lay the needs before thee. Help us this afternoon to expound thy word. May we receive a message for this people. Use us as an instrument. Fill us, not with ourselves, because then it goes wrong. But, oh Lord, could it be an afternoon where thou wouldst fill us with that fullness which is in Christ Jesus, and that we may stand here this afternoon, that we may pray them in God's stead. Be ye reconciled unto God. Today we may still sit and stand here, but we don't know what a week will bring. One of us is on the top of the list to be called out of this life. Impress it upon us, Lord. To that end, may we also lay before thee our own flock, who also thou knowest in all the circumstances where that young father, the middle-aged father, was also, his life was cut off, Lord. We have to return for a funeral. Oh, Lord, we ask thee, sanctify so the callings. Help us this afternoon. Lord, a measure of fresh oil in the pew, at home and on the pulpit, and that only For Christ's sake, amen. Let us continue with the singing of Psalter 100. Forever trusting in the Lord, take heed to do His will. So shalt thou dwell within the land, so shalt thou dwell within the land, and He thy needs shall fill. The four stanzas of Psalter 100, while in the meantime your offerings will be received. Beloved congregation, that Psalter 100 that speaks about faith. And faith, that is an important subject, that is a large subject. And it, many pages have been written about it already. But the question is, do you have it? Faith. You all have historical faith, otherwise you wouldn't be here this afternoon. That you believe that the Bible is true and that God exists. But you know it is about true saving faith. And that true saving faith is planted in the hour, the moment of regeneration. What is regeneration? Then I receive a new heart. And then that new heart is going to receive to live by faith. And in that way, everything changes. Then my life is going to change because I believe who God is. And then you say, what's the difference between historical faith? You just told us we all believe that God is true. What is the difference then between that and true saving faith? In true saving faith, God reveals himself. Then it becomes personal between you and the Lord. Then from out of his word, by word and spirit, you are going to see and to learn who God is. And then no one has to convince you that. That is now the power of the Holy Ghost. He will convince that it is true. And then your life is going to receive instruction by faith. That's why they come to church. When God comes in your life, no one has to tell you to read the books. You do that. No one will have to tell you to pray, because you will seek him. And no one will have to tell you to leave you, that you should not leave your place empty in church, because you will fill it. Because faith is going to hunger after the true knowledge of the truth. And now that faith, congregation, that is also, that is planted by the Lord, that is going to be exercised by the Lord. And by faith, they are going to receive benefits in the Lord. And the benefits which they are going to receive in the Lord, those are divine benefits, godly benefits. And what is one of those benefits? The forgiveness of sins. Do you have it? So I've asked two questions already, eh? If we have that faith. But now the second question. The benefits. May you already have the benefit of the forgiveness of faith. You say, well, that sometimes can take a lifetime. I won't deny it. Well, sometimes if I listen, then it seems that only a few of God's people receive the conscious knowledge of the forgiveness of their sins. I won't deny that either. But now you still haven't answered my question. Do you have it? Because congregation, we can mention all those things. But that doesn't answer nothing. You need to know that it is well between you and the Lord. And that can only be when what I have done against God, and that is sin, that is taken away. It's the core part of the gospel, congregation. And there lays a way declared how the Lord is going to exercise that faith to receive that benefit. And that I desire to ask your attention for this afternoon from the history of Mark 2, the first 12 verses, but I only read verse 5. Mark chapter 2, the first 12 verses, but I read verse 5. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. So far my text words. Underneath it, through faith in the man sick of the palsy. 4 points. First, his coming by faith. Second, his trial by faith. Third, his place by faith. And fourth, his benefit by faith. So through faith in the man sick of the palsy. My first point is coming by faith. Because that is in those first couple verses that I read that they come unto him bringing one sick of the palsy which was born of four. So how is he coming? By faith. Sick. Unable to walk. Carried. That we need to deal with in our first point. Then my second point, his trial by faith. Verse 4, and when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. So that is a trial. They thought to come there, and it's not working. But there you also may see, in the trials of faith, there come also the leadings of faith. They don't go home. No. That needs to be solved. It needs an answer. The man needs to be healed. Just like you this afternoon. You need that forgiveness. You can't die without it. You can't live without it. The trial by faith. Now my third point is place by faith. What does it say? When they had broken it up in verse 4, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. And then especially if you also look at the other gospels, there is a remarkable place where he comes. By the feet of the Lord Jesus. His place by faith. Then my fourth point, his benefit by faith. Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. There you may read in my fourth point that the Lord is granting to this man the benefit of the forgiveness of faith and also the healing of his body to prove that it is true. What happened on the inside? The Lord shows by the healing on the outside that he is able to forgive sins. May the Lord help us to explain these text words in your midst this afternoon, and may he be pleased to leave a blessing behind for young and old. So through faith in the man sick of the palsy, that first point is coming by faith. And again, I read, he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. Every word is inspired, congregation. The history is unfolding itself. What history? of the Son of Man in his earthly ministry. There is a place on earth where God and man, the blessed Emmanuel, was walking, was preaching, was healing, where he was teaching his disciples. And it says in this history again, he has been in Capernaum once, and he comes again. Is there some who need him again? Dealings in the past, sat under his teaching. And is there this afternoon also a cry in your heart? Wilt thou come again, Lord? Wilt thou come again to confirm who thou art for me? And again, he entered into Capernaum. Is there some amongst me this afternoon who say, I've sat so long under the truth, I've heard so many sermons, but I have to say this afternoon, unconverted. And here I sit again at church service, in God's house, in my church pew. Would it be possible? Would it be possible that I can yet become converted? And again he entered. He had to. There was work waiting for him in Capernaum, which from the stillness of eternity had to glorify God, of which they had to say, we never saw it on this fashion, because they were all amazed and glorified God. May I say it this way, my dear unconverted here, but would it glorify God if again this afternoon he would come for your conversion, and that you also may yet be born again, the regeneration, to live that life by faith, not on your own accord, no, that he feeds that, that also you may yet begin on this side of the grave already in all its shortcomings to glorify God. So you see, there was purpose, eh? Why he had to go into Capernaum again. And it was noise that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together in so much that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. So he is back in Capernaum. He is in the house. The people are hearing it. And before you know it, the room is full. And to such an extent, there was no room to receive them. Do you hear that? It is about faith this afternoon, eh? The exercises of faith are always going to reveal the wonder. That is always going to come from, that is always going to come in man's impossibilities. No room. The exercises of true saving faith to receive the benefits. Then the Lord is going to hold a way in which there are so many contradictions. Then there is a church who has to go over the world and, well, may I say it this plainly, then you come by a house and it is full and there is no room. Oh, as if to say the scene is set in Mark chapter 2 that unbelief could have the upper hand. But the Lord is going to reveal the wonder of that room-making work. And therefore that house is declared in the scriptures to be full. No, not so much as about the door. And there, no room, and yet a message. He preached the word unto them. That's always how the Lord Jesus is busy. That's always how faith is going to be exercised. Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so the Lord Jesus is standing in that home preaching. And because that is here also in the original, he preached the word, the doctrine. You know what that doctrine is, congregation? That it can't stay the way it is. That it's not enough to have historical faith. That you can't remain unconverted. That is the doctrine that a wonder has to take place. It's preached here in the home of Capernaum. And now so he is there in that house. And they came unto him bringing one sick of the palsy which was born of four. Sickness is in Capernaum as it is in Fort McLeod. Two infants in the hospital. The young father who was remarkably spared. Sickness in the congregation. Oh, congregation, what does that mean? Are you listening? Consequences of sin. Is that also experienced in Fort McLeod? When there are sick ones among you, consequences. The Lord is always at the right address. The Lord is never mistaken. Consequences of sin, congregation. And now so here in Capernaum, those consequences of sin are going to bring out the wonder of that true saving faith. That would also be a wonder if in Fort McLeod the sicknesses may be used by the Lord for the planting and the exercises of true saving faith. Why? It wasn't just one man who was sick and he was on his own. No, it says very clearly, born of four. Carried. And then it is always that is pointing to bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. There's also something to be busy with church members, even the young ones, when they are sick. To seek access to the throne of God's grace with them. To seek to lay them before the Lord. That's how they're busy here. And that is, in my first point, the coming by faith. They come unto him bringing one sick of the palsy which was born of four. May I say it is in all reverence. Then you don't need to be in a house in Capernaum. You need to be in the hospital. Would they be on the wrong place? No. Why? Hebrews 11 verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is. And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Do you see the faith? And that's what our text says very clear. When Jesus saw their faith, not just the one who was on that bed, but also those four who were carrying him. That now it is in Capernaum, a small group, but coming by faith. And as that is read to you from Hebrews 11 verse 6, he that cometh to God must believe that he is. That's really simple, people. That is to believe he exists. So do you see the coming by faith? They're not going to the hospital in Capernaum. But they're going to the man of sorrows acquainted with grief. What lays declared in that? Lessons. Do you know who God is when you're sick? When you pray for the sick ones, is there knowledge in Fort McLeod that God is? Not just God as if to say in the historical way and how we can say that when troubles come upon us, please pray for us. No, these men are directed to a person. And so you see the coming by faith that is always to an object, congregation. And so here in this coming by faith, I may see the faith of these men declaring who God is. They may come unto him who is the express image of the Father. That is a coming also yet in 2024 when one may bow his or her knees for the sick ones and to address him as the one who is known unto your soul. There lays declared here these four men and the one who was sick. They may know unto whom they are coming. You hear that nowadays, hey, go to Jesus. That's what the Gospels say. They all went to Jesus. Yeah, but do you see the lesson? These men were just like you and me, who needed to be regenerated, and the fruits of their regeneration is made visible, because they are going unto him. And now so with that sick man of the palsy, that means children, he couldn't walk. He was laying on his bed. And if you read that also, that sickness of the palsy, that is not just overnight. That was a development. First he started to limp, so to say. First an ache in his legs, and then limping, and then so downhill, and then there he lays on his bed, nothing. And then coming. Because it is a coming by faith, as I have read to you, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is. Oh, they may behold in that house of Capernaum, under that preaching of the Lord Jesus. That's God. Is there already a sermon in your life where you were allowed to believe who that God is? That from the pulpit was declared not the name of a stranger, but of one who is revealing himself. Because that sickness that is all consequences of sin, and as if to say, with our sin, what must we do? Adam hid himself from God. And that's also what we are prone to do by nature. We are prone to go away from the Lord with our sin, to go in our own ways and to depend upon our own knowledge. But here I may read that knowledge of God is coming to the surface in their greatest need. That room is full. Christ is preaching. And there comes one sick of the palsy because they believe that God exists. They believe that in Capernaum is now Emmanuel, God with us. And they need to be there. that now becomes for those people the greatest need to be with the consequences of sin by Him whom God has sent. And now so you see that the Lord is going to hold away. 'Tis clear, eh? First point. There is 5 men in Capernaum. They know who God is. Ah, is there souls here this afternoon in Fort McLeod who may know who God is? Have you received some knowledge of Him, dear hearer? That God is true. That there is a moment between you and the Lord that it became true who God is. And that now under that consequences of sin, because when God is going to reveal Himself, He's not going to skip over sinhood. He is going to place that right in the center. And so those 4 are carrying that 5th one unto the Lord. That is now 4 men on a corner of that bed and the consequences of sin in the middle. And so it is also still today, congregation, when it is by faith to come unto the Lord, that is with the consequences of our sin. That's not someone who can polish something up or make something look better. They have to go in the reality. They believe who God is as one who is sick of the palsy, laying there on his bed. And so they are coming by faith. But my second point is trial by faith. Because then I read, and when they could not come nigh to him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. So you read, they believe that God is. And as also Paul writes that, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That is now, that as if say those are, that is one sentence, eh? In Hebrews 11 verse 6. But there lays so much in that. First of all, to believe that God is. And then the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. There lays so many trials in that. Because they are coming nigh Him. Well, then it would be soon fixed. Then they would be quickly done. No, what is true is tried. And in these trials, congregation, the Lord is going to give that only by faith they will persevere through those trials. Because if those men would not have believed that God is, as how He is there in that house of Capernaum, He had come again, they would have turned around and gone home and said, hopefully He comes again. But I read different. It needs a solution. And that's divine. Is there an unrest in your heart and life which is requiring a solution? Is there also here this afternoon souls who have to say, everything is against me? It seems as if I can't come to Him where I need to be. And my case is serious. It can't stay this way. And then about the forgiveness of sins, eh? My sins need to be pardoned. How is that, Church of God? What are you resting in? Are you resting in marks and signs, wonderful deliverances? Then I have to tell you this afternoon, that's not the forgiveness. That's not enough. Yeah, but it is from the Lord. Oh, I don't deny anything of that. But it needs a solution. And that is now a solution in light of
that it is removed.
This man can't stay sick. So God's church should not be able to remain unforgiven. And now so here this comes in the way of the trial. The one where they need to go to, the way is hindered. And so there comes many trials to come unto him who they need. Those are the trials of the flesh that cleaves to me. There's a big disease today. The world conformity, also amongst God's people. Where on Sunday in church and Monday to Saturday, they read devotions, we read the Bible, we pray three times a day, but we go on. Congregation, that's not a good sign. If on Sunday, that under that preaching, that need for that reconciliation is brought, and as if to say, laid to the heart. Could it be that the times may return in the lives of God's people, where there came an unrest, that they could not just simply go through the motions, but that they needed fulfillment, that there was a hunger and a thirsting after that righteousness. Those trials of the flesh, when we seek to compromise, when we seek to go in pathways, the world a little bit and the church a little bit, and hopefully at the end we come out okay. I don't read that in Mark 2. These men are seeking for another way to come to him, because the need is pressing. And church of God, what is it then also, to talk about the palsy, to talk about the consequences of sin? Then you can talk maybe hours of how miserable you are. But that did not glorify anything in Capernaum. To talk about how miserable the situation is, that does not bring glory to God. That is clear from Mark 2. But that glorification of God lays in receiving the solution. And so these men are brought to seek, is there a way? Because the need is pressing. And so what is the way? They uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. They are directed. There is a way for their need to be fulfilled. They, at that, well, may I say it as plainly, going home is not an option. Because then their case is unsolved. Then that man sick of the palsy is not healed. And now so the trials of faith, what does it bring to the foreground? All those trials, congregation, they go so against the flesh. Church of God, the trials of faith, you will have to hand over your conversion. You will have to hand over your sweet frames and all what you have received, because God's justice requires perfect satisfaction. But now in that way, the Lord is going to hold the way in the trials to give a deep lesson. Because these people are brought to the roof of that house, they uncover that roof, and now those four, what do they have to do? They have to let that man who is sick of the palsy, they have to let him go.
And also in that letting go, there lays also a direction. That is a downward place, congregation. That is a downward direction. That is now also in the life of faith and in the trials. That is always a pathway in which it goes downhill, congregation. That is always a pathway wherein they will have to learn, he must increase and I must decrease. And those four that are standing on that roof, you know what is happening. The distance between them and their friend that only becomes greater. Because they have to let that man go and he has to be brought on the place where they, as if to say, are only able to drop him from that distance. And now so in the trials of faith, that is also to learn to let go, congregation. And there lays now the trial of faith that is going to bring that out in the life of grace. That there are lessons in which God's church has to learn to let go. And so they receive that trial by faith. They receive in that trial direction. There is a way. There is a place. And so there comes, in my third point, that place by faith. Because then it may say very clearly, that when they let down that bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay, and then especially from Luke 5 verse 19, before Jesus, oh, that is now in the trial of faith. The Lord is always going to bring to the object of the faith. That mediator was now so hidden. But that roof was uncovered. And now in that uncovering of that roof. Because you have to count on it. That was now as if to say that they go on that roof. And they begin there to uncover, and then it comes on the right place, so that it is also at what Luke brings across in Luke 5 verse 19, that he is brought right at his feet, and that they had to let that man sick of the palsy, they had to let him down, but he receives a place, and that's the best place, congregation. That is the place by God. That is the place at the feet of the mediator. That place by faith. It was so hidden beforehand. But the trials have uncovered it. The trials have opened a way unto his feet. And now there he lays. How? As an unforgiven man. As an unhealed man. Notice then, the trials, that was quite something. The place, that is quite something. But how is he laying there? Unfit for the master's service. Unhealed. He is laying there in the consequences of his sin. Oh, is it then also here, congregation, a question, do you know that place? The trials. But do you now also know that in the trials, you were given a place by him? And nothing solved. Nothing healed. There that man lays. In his sin. In his sickness. He lays by the feet of the Lord Jesus. And congregation, that man is not asking anything. I read very clearly in Mark 2. 'Tis silent. He lays by the feet of the Lord Jesus in silence. Notice, congregation, when the Lord is going to grant the benefit of the forgiveness of sins, that is to come to a place where God's church falls silent. That is a place where there comes, as if to say, to lay there in your unholiness, to lay there in your unfitness. And then it has to come from God's side. That is a people who lay at the feet of Jesus and still can't help themselves. That is a people who lay at the feet of the Master and are not able to increase their faith one bit. But now it becomes God's time. Because where the Lord is going to bring at the feet of the Master, the Lord is also going to speak. The Lord is going to fulfill all what He has promised in His Word. And so I have my fourth point, His benefit by faith. But let us sing first. 398. The stanzas 1 and 2. The Lord upholds the faltering feet and makes the weak securely stand. The burdened ones bow down with grief are helped by His most gracious hand. 1 and 2 of 398.
Thank you.
When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. His benefit by faith. That man lays there as sick. That man lays there in the consequences of his sin. And do you know what you lose then? Your works. Your works for righteousness. That man can't do anything. But bring before the Lord what he is and what he remains. Helpless, sick, unfit, unholy. But now there it is also, the text says it so clearly, when Jesus saw their faith. And congregation, that is now he is preaching in that home. He sees so much. But now when that is happening, that man is laying at his feet. Do you see what is then revealed from who God is? It doesn't say that God's seen that palsy. It doesn't say that God's seen that bed on which he was laid. But the scriptures may reveal that Jesus saw their faith. Do you know what John has recorded of the Lord Jesus, of what he has said? All them that the Father hath given me shall come unto me. And now it is the Lord who may behold that in that way of how that these men have brought their sick friend to the feet of the Lord Jesus. That the scriptures may record that Jesus sees the work of himself. He beholds their faith. And congregation, in the forgiveness of sins, what is the Lord going to do? He is going to glorify his own work. And that's why it is always in the experience of the forgiveness of sins that is learned as being sick. That is learned as being helpless on the bed of affliction, on the bed of my death, on the bed of that I am not able to bring to the Lord anything which is worthy for me to be forgiven. But it is in those moments that the Lord is going to glorify what he sees of his own work in them. And now so here this man sick of the palsy receives that place by the Lord Jesus. And Christ sees their faith. And then it is the Lord who begins. That is now where the Lord is going to come to give unto these people the solution. Because what is the first thing that comes as the solution? That is not thy sins are forgiven. But the first thing that is said unto that man sick of the palsy is to reveal the relationship. Because the first thing that Christ says when he sees that man on that bed, in the consequences of his sin, but when he has seen that faith, the first thing Christ says is, Son. Do you see how the Lord is making room for the wonder? The first thing that is confirmed after the trial. The first thing that is confirmed when he may lay at the feet of the Lord Jesus. Is the relationship from God's side. And that becomes the term of endearment, Son. May I then ask you this afternoon, where is the point in your life where you were cut off from your works, where you were cut off from ever being able to reconcile yourself unto God? And that God came from his side and what did he begin with? With the relationship, where he began to address you as one who could, in your own estimation, never be addressed anymore.
But a wonder is going to be glorified here in Capernaum, that the Lord is addressing one as sick of the palsy. That the Lord is going to address one under the consequences of his sin, and he is going to address him as son. That the Lord is, as if to say, binding himself unto that sick man. That the Lord is binding himself unto him who is laying there in his filth and in his sin, and in his helplessness to save himself. And there lays a wonder declared, congregation, because now the Lord is binding himself unto that which is sick. All your lays declare that the Lord, in that free and in that sovereign work, is going to bind himself to that which is sick. May I as ask, Church of God, would that not be a wonder this afternoon? That he would bind himself to you again in your unholiness. That he would bind himself unto you by speaking the terms of endearment. When you have to see what you only can bring forth from your sight, unbelief. When you only can bring forth from your sight that you are not able to reconcile yourself unto God. And that now the Lord here is coming to reveal unto this man there is a relationship. And that is a relationship which is going to reveal that he has taken ownership of his dead church. That he has taken ownership of his sick church. That he has become man to humble himself in that human nature. To find his church in their sickness. And to bind himself unto them in that sickness. People, then you can wash those people in the tears. That the Lord takes ownership of such a one. That the Lord is taking ownership of such a helpless one. Who is not able to reconcile himself unto God. Who is not able with all his works to polish one sin away. Who is not able to find his life in all kinds of deliverances. Because the trials, that people weren't satisfied with an open roof. Those people weren't satisfied with some direction to the roof. These people need to be satisfied in the forgiveness of the sins. And now so here, son, that term of endearment. And now the Lord has bound himself to that which is unfit for the master's use. The Lord in our text words is binding himself unto that which can't save him or herself. But that's now exactly where he is going to pick it up. Because it says, thy sins be forgiven thee. Do you know what that man may hear? As a sick one. As one who has no words when he is laid before the feet of the Lord Jesus. The Lord begins to engage himself with his primary cause of separation, his sins. And then the Lord is not pointing to his neighbor's sins, but the Lord is pointing to his sins, thy sins. And then he may hear from the blessed lips of the mediator, be forgiven thee. So you hear the words of life. You hear the words that the mediator is taking over. That he as God and man in one person is here speaking about the cause which separates. He says, thy sins, that is forgiven. What is the forgiveness? The forgiveness is pointing to a pardoning. The forgiveness that is pointing to a taking away. And that taking away to such an effect that it is not a pardoning in which I later will owe something. Not a pardoning where as if to say, my payment is deferred. That sometimes happens, eh? If you can't make a payment, then they advertise that you can pay later. But here, congregation, that is the free, the full salvation. that the Lord is coming to take it all away. This man lays there on his bed. And he hears it from God's side that the Lord has removed his sin. Oh, and notice, that man has received the forgiveness of sins. And now in that forgiveness of sins between him and God, it has come straight. And as if to say, if that man would now have to leave on his bed, that would be okay with him. Because his primary cause has been taken care of. And as now also, congregation, to show to you the forgiveness of sins. That is not just for some temporary benefits. That is not just to win heaven thereby. But here the forgiveness of sins, that was the primary cause what this man was struggling and battling with. And the Lord takes it away. And now it is the Lord who is going to prove what he has done by removing his infirmity. And that is because the Pharisees, they say, that can't be true. That man's sins are forgiven, they call that even blasphemy. Oh, do you hear the religion, eh? The religion calls that wonderful work of the forgiveness of sins, they say that's blasphemy. How the Lord has dealt with this man is in the terms of religion, blasphemy. But the Lord is going to prove it. That man doesn't have to fight for himself. No, then the Lord is also going to prove in the wonder of his healing that it is true, it is he who forgives sins. So this man receives the benefit of the forgiveness and of the healing. Congregation, I have one question in closing. Where are your sins? Where are your sins? Because not one of us is exempt of it. We all have sinned, but I ask this afternoon, where are they? As we have explained it to you from Mark 2, that is the only way in which the Lord is going to be able to deal with your sins in a God-honoring way. That you have to decrease. That in your sin and your uncleanness and under the consequences of sin, that you have to come to lay before him. And that he takes it over. That's the only way, congregation. And that person of the mediator will come to the foreground only through Jesus Christ is the forgiveness of sin. The forgiveness of your sins does not lay in some remarkable deliverances, in some trials of faith which were remarkably led. But the forgiveness of sins lays in God speaking to you, in God dealing with you, in God speaking unto you about those sins. God's church on the right foundation knows where the Lord has put their sin. Because it is in a moment as this that the Lord comes to the foreground in Christ Jesus. And through him they receive that forgiveness. My beloved here. Outside of him there is no forgiveness of sins. And if this afternoon you have to say, he is strange to me. Him I do not know. Then I have to tell you that you are still under the load of your sin. That you are still traveling for your own account. That you cannot meet him that way an eternity that can come so suddenly. On Thursday I have to bury a 52-year-old man in my own congregation. He had an accident and it became fatal. So you see, that moment can be so close. My beloved here, where is your sin? As it stands today, oh, you know it is us. We don't like that, those pricking questions. We would rather hear, tell us now some easy things. No congregation I have to hold it before you. You need to receive the forgiveness of your sins through Christ Jesus. In the way which we have declared to you this afternoon, that's the way. And only in that way can you live and can you die. Therefore, may the Lord bind you unto the throne of grace with the load of your sin. And may you be brought as a sinner into that wonderful place where God is going to speak to you as a sinner, but also where he is going to speak to you about your sins. Yea, where he is going to reveal that through his Son Christ Jesus, there is the forgiveness of your sins. Church of God, the forgiveness of sins in Christ Jesus. Do you know what that is? That is to receive not only that the debt is taken care of, but do you know what this man also has received? The right to his eternal life. Oh, in that forgiveness of sins lays the right to your eternal life. So that also means in the sanctification. Church of the Lord, you will not be able to do without him. You will not be able to holy yourself up in all kinds of things outside of him. He is always again driving to that foundation. May therefore also his people receive in their sanctification the terms of endearment as a wonder. Amen. Lord, we close, we ask of thee for the application. That man received everything. That man received a place on earth where thou didst take ownership of him in his sin, where thou didst take him for thy account. Oh, exalted mediator, have these leadings, these dealings with thy church yet today. Remove from us then all what we lean on outside of it. Because thou knowest, Lord, man seeks out many inventions. But thy word was clear this afternoon. This is the way. Walk ye in it. Lord, lead them by thy Holy Spirit. Remember this flock with their minister, with their consistory. From the oldest to the youngest, convert what is unconverted. Remember the cases of sickness. We commend them to thee. Also, we commend to thee the couple who hopes to get married this week. Look upon them also in mercy. Bring us safely to where we are expected. Help one more time this evening. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing psalter is 174. The stanzas 1, 2, and 3. O all ye peoples, bless our God. Aloud proclaim his praise, who safely holds our soul in life and steadfast makes our ways. 1, 2, and 3 of 174.
Announcement from the consistory that the consistory hopes to meet this coming Wednesday at 7:30 p.m. Anyone wishing to visit is asked to make an appointment with the clerk. Receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. blessing.